want to welcome everybody to the call tonight, Claim Your Power Now, another one of the teletraining calls. And we've just had a great lineup of folks, and tonight is no exception. I met this guy for the first time a couple of months ago. I had actually been aware of his work longer than that, and he's got some incredible products. He's got some incredible insights, and I just had a ball with him. He's probably the number one nicest, newest person I've met this year. That I was talking to a mutual friend of ours today, and I said, you know, that's the greatest find of the year for me so far is Ron White. What a genuine guy, and just extremely humble and extremely bright, and a great presenter. And for those folks who've already, you know, got their registrations in for Atlanta, Ron is going to kick the morning off on Friday morning after I kind of give you an overview. He's our very first guy, and you baseball fans know, you always, that leadoff hitter, you want someone who can get on base. Well, this guy can get on base because he's a hitter all the way. And I just want to welcome to the call from Dallas, Texas, Mr. Ron White.
Well, thanks, Vic. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate all that nice stuff you said, and right back at you. I've enjoyed meeting you this year, past few months, and I've also known about you for a long time. So it's an equal pleasure and treat for me.
Folks, what we want to do tonight is our typical format. Ron, I neglected to tell you, for those of you who don't know, is a Guinness Book of World Record memory holder. And just that, it's really much bigger than that. I want to tell you that the skills that he can teach you tonight, the skills he can teach you in Atlanta, the skills he can teach you anytime you can get to a seminar that Ron White does, is more than just holding the world memory record. And that's a fantastic achievement. But he can teach you how to have stronger, better relationships. He can teach you how to become better at whatever you do by relying on what you've already been given. You just have never dusted off and used the way that he can train you to use it. So I'm going to, you know, we advertise this as a call to learn how to, you know, use your brain like a human computer. So I'm going to turn you over to the guy who'll do that. And Ron, if you'll share with us some ideas for the next 30 or 35 minutes, we'd appreciate it.
Well, very good. Well, first of all, you know, Vic, and whenever people hear about the Guinness record thing, they think, man, this guy, and what I did for that was, is I memorized a 28-digit number in a minute and 15 seconds on a Fox television show, and I said it forwards and backwards. And whenever people hear that, they think, wow, you memorized 28 numbers in a minute and 15 seconds? You know, they think automatically, you know, at the age of three, I must have been memorizing French and playing the piano. And I'll tell you, nothing is further from the truth. I'm a guy with a very, very average memory. In other words, I didn't grow up some child prodigy and then one day decided I was going to break a Guinness World Record to show the world how smart I am. Furthest thing from the truth. I'm an average guy who got average grades in school, and when I got to college, I got below average grades. They were so much below average, as a matter of fact, that I got kicked out of college. I had a 0.9 GPA. And I know 0.9 sounds more like an interest rate than a GPA, but that was my GPA. I got suspended. And during that year suspension, I took a class on memory training. Now, I'll be honest with you. My problem, you know, when I was in college, and it was about 15 years ago, my problem wasn't that I didn't have a memory class. My problem is I wasn't going to class. But when I took this memory system and I sat in that seminar, my eyes and my mind began to wake up. I was thinking, wow, I can't believe my mind is capable of this. I watched this guy stand in the front of the room, and he pointed to different people in the audience, and he said, give me a word. And one person said dog, and one person said cat, and one person said refrigerator, and he got all the 20 of these words. And then after he heard the 20 words, he said the 20 words forwards and backwards. It floored me. It blew me away. Then he pointed to somebody and said, pick a number between 1 and 20, and they said 12. He said the 12th word that y'all gave me was shoes or whatever it was. I was blown away. Everybody in the room was blown away. But then he went on to tell us, he said, everybody in here has this ability. It's not a question of do you have the ability. It's a question of, do you know how to use it? Do you know how to release that ability from your own memory? And in just a few short hours, I was doing the same demonstration. I was going to my family members after that class, and they were giving me words, and I was saying them forwards and backwards. Now, where does this fit into the matrix of business and your life and success and all that? First of all, I'm going to give you some skills tonight that is going to enable you to improve your memory and do neat little memory demonstrations like this with your friends and family. And it number one, it's fun, but number two, it kind of boosts your self-confidence and your belief in yourself. Whenever I have children come through my seminars, and I had a friend of mine, and she said, Ronnie, which is my real name, and she said, Ronnie, I want to bring my nephew to your class. He got a, I shouldn't even be laughing here when I say this, but he got a 13 on his 6 weeks report last week, or last 6 weeks, and it wasn't that the kid was stupid. No kid is going to get a 13. It's well, he wasn't trying. So he went through my class. I taught him some memory systems. He didn't get any smarter from the previous 6 weeks. He got no smarter, but what he got in my memory system was confidence in himself, a belief in himself, and all of a sudden learning was fun. And when I say he more than tripled his grades, he, you know, that's not hard to do, but he went to like a C average, and it wasn't because he got smart. It was about confidence. Now here's the question. How do you do it? How do you memorize 20 words forwards and backwards? How do you shake people's hands and then 2 seconds later remember their name, but 2 weeks later remember their name, and 2 years? How do you do that? If the mind has the ability, and if all the people on this conference call have the ability, if 10-year-old kids have it, if I have it, and if we all have it, what is the secret? What is the way that we release this ability that we all have? I'll share this with you. If you have a pen, you might want to write these down. If you don't, well, then remember them, or you can get them from me direct in Atlanta. But the three things that you need to memorize anything are this. Number one, you need a file. You need a place to store the information. Here's the analogy. Let's pretend like all of you right now, you go to your file cabinets or your computers, and you get all your files. If they're on your computer, you print up all those files. If they're in a file cabinet, you empty out all the files. And then all of a sudden, you've just got boxes and boxes and boxes of files. Now I want you to visualize yourself walking into your bedroom, and you're dumping these files all over the floor of your bedroom. And you do this for 3 or 4 years every time you get a new file. Now, here's the scenario. 3 years later, you walk into that bedroom and you need the Jones file, or you need the Anderson file, and the files are stacked up to your chest. The question is this, is that file still in the room? Of course it's still in the room. It didn't go anywhere, but the problem is it's on the floor of the room. It's stacked up, and it's a mess in there. You're going to have to sort through that information for 3 hours, 4 hours, or 2 weeks to find the file. Why? Because it wasn't in a file cabinet. It wasn't in a place where you could go to retrieve it. Our minds are the exact same way. If everybody on this call right now either has files in your mind or you don't. I personally do. I have 300 files. By the end of this call, hopefully all of y'all will have the beginning stages of a filing system. But either you have a file or you don't. If you don't have a filing system, here's some questions you can ask yourself to figure out if you do or not. You shake somebody's hand. You see them 2 weeks later at the grocery store, and they say, Beverly, by the way, whenever y'all were saying hello on the call, I think Beverly said she was from Hearst. Well, Beverly, I live in Euless, so the odds of you and I running in the grocery store are pretty good. We live about 5 miles apart. Beverly, I meet you. 2 weeks later, I see you at the grocery store. What do people say whenever you see somebody and you can't think of their name? You always say, you know, I am so good with faces. I never forget a face. I just can't think of your name. Then you're driving home. 2 hours later, what happens? Your mind goes, hey, Beverly, do you want the name now? You're thinking, no, I don't want the name now. I wanted it 2 hours ago at the grocery store. You see, here's the problem. That is a situation where the name was in your memory, but you couldn't get it when you wanted it because you didn't have a file. Another example of that, a student studies for a test. They know the answers. They turn in the test because they can't think of the answers. They walk out of the hall. They walk down the hall. They're talking to one of their classmates. They say, what was the answer to 12? And the other kid says the answer to 12 was George Washington. And they think, oh, yeah, I knew that. You see, the child knew it, but he wasn't able to retrieve it. Why? The information was in his memory, but it was on the floor of his memory. It wasn't in a file cabinet. So here's the point. everything we've ever seen, heard, or done, every book we've ever read, every person we've ever met, the name, the data is in our memory, but it's either in a file or it's not. If you don't have files right now, this is what you need to do. You need to model something that a guy named Simonides did 2,000 years ago. Simonides was a Greek poet, and he is the father of memory training. He developed a memory method called loci, L-O-C-I. Loci is a Latin word, and it means places. If you Google Simonides and loci, you can hear all about it, or you can just listen to me because I can tell you about Simonides. What he did 2,000 years ago was Simonides walks out of the door of his house, and as he walks out of the door of his house, he begins counting buildings. He looks to his left, and he said, that building is number one. And not just buildings, but objects. He says, that tree is number two. That bridge is number three. That river is number four. That amphitheater over there is number five. In other words, Simonides walked all the way around his town, and as he progressed around the town, he numbered landmarks in a logical order. In other words, he didn't jump around the town. He did this in a logical sequence. Then at the end of the day, he gets back at his home and he reviews it. He mentally walks through the town again. Then he mentally walks through the town again and again and again and again. And each time he does this, he says the number along with the file. In other words, these objects are not just objects anymore. They are becoming files for him, and they can become files for you too. In other words, his number one file was a building. His number two file might have been a tree. Number three was a river. Number four was a bridge. After he has done this five or six times in his memory, now he has these files or these objects down in the correct sequence, plus he has them numbered. What these become is placeholders for information. The second thing that you need to memorize anything, number one is a file if you're writing these down. Number two is a picture. Whatever you want to remember, it needs to be a picture. So first of all, I want to make sure we're clear about the file thing. 2,000 years ago, the files that Simonides used were objects in his town, buildings, landmarks. You could do the same thing when this call is over. You could walk out your front door, you could walk around your block and pick 20 landmarks. I've done it. I've started with number one, the tree in my front yard, number two, the light post, number three, the mailbox, number four is my neighbor's car that has never moved, so that's a permanent file for me. Number five is another person's flower bed, and I've walked all the way around the neighborhood, and I've picked 20 landmarks that stand out for me. You could do the same thing. These would not just be landmarks. These would be files for you. The next thing is, and don't try to figure out exactly how you use your files yet. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Let's just progress to the next step, which is a picture. Your mind thinks in pictures. Whatever you want to recall, it needs to be a picture. That's why I meet you today. I'm Beverly and I meet today, and in 2 weeks, Beverly, I see you at the Sack and Save down there off of Central. And whenever I see you, we think, oh, shoot, I remember the face. I just can't think of the name. You always remember the face because you saw the face. You don't remember the name because you never saw the name. You don't ever say to somebody, hey, I know your face. Or you always say, I know your face, but could you give me your name again? You don't ever say, hey, you know, I know your name, but can I get your face again? You don't say that. The reason you remember a face is because you saw the face. You forget the name because you don't see it. The second ingredient to memory is a picture. Whatever you want to remember, you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to visualize it. So if you want to remember a person's name, Vic, you need to turn Vic. You need to select a picture for Vic. Vic might be Vic's cough drops. Ron might be a man running. Chris might be a cross. Beverly might be a bed of leaves. Karen might be a carrot. Sam might be Uncle Sam. Now, this is I'm really, really dumbing down or kind of really, really, really making how to remember names a little bit more simple than it is. There's actually a 6-step process to remember names. I'm just extracting one of those steps right now, and one of those steps is turn the name into a picture, because that's what we're talking about right now. Your mind thinks in pictures. Whatever you want to remember, it has to be a picture. If you have to give a speech or whatever, or you have to turn each one of the points of your speech into pictures and then place them on your files. And I'll explain what I mean for 1 second. Let's review. Number one, the first thing you need to memorize something is a file. You need a place to store the data. Number two is a picture. Number three is glue. Whatever you want to remember, you have to have glue. And glue is what cements something into your memory. It's what makes it unusual or different. And instead of explaining to you what glue is, I just want to show you what glue is. This is what I want everybody to do. None of you right now have any files. If you do have files, it's because you've taken a memory course before. But I'm going to assume that nobody on this call has files, and if you do, I'm going to give you some new ones. These files are not going to be in your neighborhood because I don't know what each one of your neighborhoods looks like. But they are going to be on your body, okay? We're going to use our body as a filing system here, so just bear with me here for a second. I want everybody to point to the top of your head and say, number one is top. So point to the top of your head and say, number one is top. Now point to your nose and say, number two is nose. Point to your mouth and say, number three is mouth. Point to your ribs and say, number four is ribs. We are creating files right now, just as Simonides did 2,000 years ago. Go back to the top of your head. Number one is top. Two is nose. Three is mouth. Four is ribs. Five is your liver. Number six is your hip joint. We're just going to call it joint. Number seven is your kneecap. We're just going to call it cap. Number eight is down here in your shin area. There's two bones, the fibula and tibula. Number eight, we're going to call it fibula. It's very important you call it fibula and not shin, and the reason for that will make sense when you see me in Atlanta. Number nine is the ball of our foot. We're just going to call it ball. And number 10 is going to be the sand, okay? It's not on our body, and it's the ground, and we're going to call it the sand. So let's review real quick. Start at the top of your head once more time. Top. Two nose, three mouth, four ribs, five liver, six joint, seven cap, eight fibula, number nine ball, and number 10 sand. 10 sand, nine ball, eight fibula, seven cap, six joint, five liver, four ribs, three mouth, two nose, one top. If you can do that, and I hope all of you just did it with me, if you can do that, you can go on Fox Television and break a Guinness World Record for memory. Now, I'll say this. If you do that, I will shatter your record, okay, just so we're all clear. But the first ingredient that you need to memorize something is a file. So these places on our body are files. Now, what was the second thing I said you needed to memorize something? I told you it was a picture. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give everybody 10 pictures. Remember I told you 15, 16 years ago I was sitting in a hotel conference room and I saw a guy stand up at the front of the room. He called on 20 random people and then he remembered the words they memorized in the correct sequence and it blew me and everybody else in the room away. It was very impressive. What I'm about to do with you is the process that he used and the process that you can use. He put it on his body. We're only going to do 10, though, because we only have 10 body files. I want everybody to point to the top of your head. Your number one file is top. The first word that I'm going to give you that I want you to remember is a washing machine. So I want you to see a washing machine on the top of your head. Now, I told you there were three ingredients to memory. Number one is a file. Number two is a picture, and number three was glue. The file is the top of your head. The picture is the washing machine. If you just place a washing machine, if you just set it on the top of your head mentally, there is no glue. Glue's the action. It's the crazy story that you create. I want you to put that washing machine up there, and I want it to be spinning around, and I want the soap to be going everywhere, and I want it to be shaking. The glue is the crazy story, so make it crazy. I want everybody right now to feel a washing machine vibrating on the top of your head and the soap dripping down all through your hair. Number two, on your nose, I want everybody's nose right now, I want you to visualize that it's a dam, like a Hoover Dam, Boulder Dam, a dam that holds back water, and all of a sudden that dam breaks and just water fills up the room. The file is the nose, the picture, what I want you to recall is a dam, and the glue is the story of it breaking. Number three, on your mouth, I want you to put a thermos. Maybe you're dumping coffee or soup from a thermos into your mouth. It's burning your mouth. That's the glue. Number four, on your ribs, I want you to see medicine, Tylenol, Benadryl, Advil. I want you to see NyQuil, that syrup smeared all over your ribs. You got syrup all over your ribs. The liver, I want you to see a man in a rowboat. Look down there at your liver right now, and a man in a rowboat comes bursting through your liver. On your hip joint, I want you to see another dam, just like you had on your nose, but this dam doesn't have water behind it. It has cue balls. The white ball on a pool table is a cue ball. So down on your hip joint, you got a dam down there that breaks, and all these cue balls fill up the room. Or you can see it another way. See a dam on your hip joint, and somebody throws a cue ball at it, and it breaks the dam. Number seven, your kneecap. We just call it cap, right? I want you to see on your cap, I want you to see a jack. Like you got a flat tire, all of a sudden you got a flat tire, now you're jacking up your car. A jack on your kneecap. Number eight, fibula, I want you to see a van. A van crashes into your fibula and catches on fire. It is a van that's burning. Number, and I know I'm moving fast here, but I just want to cover a lot in a short amount of time, and I know you guys are smart or you wouldn't be on the call. Number nine, on the ball of your foot, I want you to see tons and tons of hair. I mean, just hair growing all on the ball of your foot. Hopefully that's a crazy picture, and you can see that hair just growing all over your foot. Now, number 10, the sand, I want you to see ties. I want you to see ties laying all over the floor, ties everywhere. Like when you wear a suit, you might wear a tie. So on the floor, we have a tie. On the ball of our foot, we have hair. I want you to start at number one and review them with me. Number one, I'm going to pause so you can say it. I know I can't hear you say it, but I just want to give you the opportunity to. Number one, washing machine. Number two, a dam. Number three, a thermos. Number four, medicine. Number five, a man in a rowboat. Number six, a dam with cue balls. Number seven, a jack. Number eight, a van burning on fire. Number nine, hair. And number 10, ties. Hopefully you got most of those. And if you didn't get them all, don't worry about it. A real big misconception is that 15 years ago when I took this memory class, I was the star of the class and I was getting 100% on all the things. No, farthest thing from the truth. I was getting 70, 80, 90% on all the stuff. I'm just a guy who practiced it really intensely for several weeks afterwards and got really good at it. And you can do the same. So don't worry about your score right now. Now, here's the deal. We memorize this with a file, picture, and a glue. Now, you say, okay, Ron, all right, fine. I can memorize a list of 10 words because I put them on my body, but how in the world is that going to help me build my business, build my career, build my self-esteem, improve my grades? I can see stuff on my body, but I don't get how is this going to help me in my life other than to play a game with my friends that I can memorize 10 words, and when they say five, I think liver and man in a rowboat. Here's the so what to this. Here's the big deal about what we just did. I used an example here. I took the first 10 presidents of the United States, and what I did was is I turned them into pictures. Remember I said you need a file, picture, glue? Well, you got George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe. All names are kind of abstract. How did I tell you that you remember names earlier? I said you have to turn it into a picture. So what I just did was I went through the first 10 presidents of the United States, turned their names into pictures. After I turned them into pictures, I placed them on my files. Let's go through it real quick. Washing machine for Washington. A dam for Adams. It was number three, it wasn't Thomas Jefferson, it was Thomas Jefferson. I used a thermos for Thomas. Number four, his name wasn't Medicine, it was Madison. Number five, man in a rowboat for Monroe or Monroe. Number six, a cue ball and a dam. His name was Q Adams, John Q Adams. Number seven, we used a jack for Jackson. Number eight, a Van Buren for Van Buren, Martin Van Buren. Number nine, hair for Harrison. And 10, 10 ties for Tyler. Now, guys, if you can take the presidents of the United States and memorize them that quickly, you can use this system for just about anything. I had a woman come to my seminar recently here in Dallas, and she's with a network marketing group. And she went to my seminar, and one of her friends emailed me 2 or 3 days after the seminar, and she said, "Ron, you have got to hear this. Our friend," and she said her name, "who went through your seminar, she has been given these presentations on our company for years." In other words, she stands up and talks why you should join this network marketing company. She said last week she gave the presentation. She was so confident. She was looking everybody in the eye. She was so full of knowledge. It was so different. It was such a dramatically different presentation. After she got done, I walked over to her and I said, "My God, what happened? You were like such a different speaker now. How'd you get so good? What are you doing different?" And she said, "It's simple. I went to Ron White's memory course. I took the key points in my speech. I turned them into pictures, and I just put them on my body." And she sent me an email about this, and it got forwarded all around all this network marketing company. So now they're all doing it. But imagine that. In your business, in your company, you have a presentation to give. You have a talk to give, and you're fumbling around in your notes because the number one fear in America is the fear of public speaking. You just don't feel confident up there. But when you know your subject matter inside and out, you do. She took the key points to her speech, turned them into a picture, put them on her body, and she got up there and delivered it without notes. Students will use these body file systems to memorize information on a test or something like the president's. Business professionals use this to give a speech or product knowledge. Or if you're talking to a prospect and you're asking them questions, let's say you're a realtor and you say, "Mr. Prospect, tell me about the house that you want to buy." And they say, "I want to buy a house that has a swimming pool in it. It needs to be near a school, and I want it to have a big yard." As they're giving you the things that you want, that you need to know about them, you turn them into a picture and you put them on your body. Your body file is so versatile for the different things that it can be used for: a things to do list for the day, product knowledge, sales training, given a speech. And now let's go back real quick before, I know Vic wants to open it up for questions here in a few minutes. Before we do that, you have to have more than 10 files. I have files in my house. In other words, I did walk around my neighborhood number of files, but that's not my primary filing system. My primary filing system is pieces of furniture in my house. I've numbered stuff just as I've numbered my body. I've numbered objects in my house, such as beds and dressers and TVs and stoves and refrigerators and microwaves. And whenever I want to retain information, I will put it either in my house or on my body, on pieces of furniture in my house or objects on my body. I speak at a lot of car dealerships as guest speakers at their Saturday morning sales meetings sometimes, and I'll sit outside and I'll wait for my turn to speak, and as I'm sitting out there waiting for my turn to speak, I'm looking at their brochure, and on their brochure, it'll say, "Here's their sports utility vehicle, and here's the 10 reasons you should buy this car." It'll have their compact car and the 10 reasons for that one. I'll look at that brochure. I'll take the 10 reasons to buy the SUV, and I'll put it on my body. I'll take the 10 reasons to buy the compact car, and I'll put it on pieces of furniture in my kitchen. I'll look at the 10 reasons to buy their pickup truck, and I'll put that on 10 pieces of furniture in my bedroom. Then I'll walk into the sales manager, and I'll hand him the brochure, and I'll say, "Mr. Sales Manager, pick a car." And he'll say, "The SUV." And I'll think, "Okay, that's on my body." So I'll go to my body, and I say the 10 items forwards and backwards. I say, "Pick another car." He says, "The compact car." I think, "Okay, that's my kitchen." And then I'll go walk through my kitchen, and I tell him the 10 points forwards and backwards. The sales manager's 99 times out of 100, his jaw will drop, and he'll look at me because he knows I've only been looking at that for 90 seconds, 2 minutes maybe. And I'll say, "Mr. Sales Manager, if I could teach your salespeople to memorize the product knowledge that quickly, what would that be worth to you? What kind of price tag would you put on that?" Every time he'll say, "It would be invaluable to me. I could not put a price tag on it." And then I'll always say, "Well, I can." And then I do. But here's the deal. That sales manager is correct in his statement that if his salespeople could memorize their product knowledge that quickly, their sales scripts that quickly, it would be invaluable to him. Well, guess what, folks? They can, I can, and so can you. And the way you do it is through building files and perfecting files, whether it's files on your body, files in your house, files in your neighborhood. It's a system. This is how our minds work. Our minds are very systematic, and they can retain large quantities of data, but we have to use it in a systematic fashion, and we need to use this memory method of LOCI, L-O-C-I, of file, picture, glue. Last thing that I wanted to say before Vic opens it up for questions is that to remember a person's name, you need to turn it, you turn it into a picture, see that picture on their face, and it's so important in building relationships. Zig Ziglar tells us people do not care how much we know until they first know how much we care. Dale Carnegie wrote a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. The two important facts that came out of that book were everyone's favorite subject is themselves, and the sweetest sound of their ears, the sound of their own name. Folks, when we remember a person's name, remembering their favorite subject and the sweetest sound of their ear. Zig Ziglar tells us they don't care how much we know about our business until we first know how much we care about them. When you improve your memory, you're going to be able to realize how incredible your potential is, how wonderful you are. I recently did a radio show and I memorized 50 numbers and the disc jockey said, "Ron, you are incredible." And I said, "You're right, I am." And he looked at me like, "And you're a jerk too." And I said, "Before you kick me out of your studio for saying that I'm incredible, believe me, I am. But I only believe that because I know what my mind is capable of, and I know what your mind is capable of, and it is some truly phenomenal things. But the thing is, you have to practice it, you have to perfect it, and you have to work at it." By the way, last thing before Vic opens this up for questions, if you have students, I had a woman ask me, if you have children who are students, I had a woman ask me, "Ron, should I teach this to my kids?" And I told her if she didn't teach this to her kids, her children need to be taken away from her and put in child protective services. Of course you should teach this to your children. I hope to see you all in Atlanta because there is so much more that I can share and so much more. I hope I've given you some good stuff tonight, but there's so much more that I can give. And not only am I going to be giving it to you, you can take it and in turn give it to your children. And when your children come to you and say, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm smart," and it's a child who thought they were stupid or a child who didn't have confidence in themselves, that is going to make it, the whole trip to Atlanta worthwhile for you. And I promise you, I can give you those skills to give to them. So I guess, Vic, we can open it up for questions now if you want.
Fantastic. Awesome job, Ron. Guys, I know that you learned a lot listening to him on the phone. To watch him as he teaches you is even more incredible, and so I'm going to encourage you to get the rest of the Ron White story. But before then, we want to take some questions now, and just say your first name and where you're calling from. Since we can't see you, raise your hand, and either Ron or I will acknowledge you, and you can ask your question. And then when you're through, if you could go back into mute by *6-ing yourself again. So *6 to unmute, *6 mutes. Who has the first question?
Hello, Ron.
Yes.
This is Leela Ashkarian with in Florida Keys, and I'm a real estate agent.
Right.
And I'm not a script real estate agent, meaning that sitting back behind a telephone booth and remembering my script, he said, she said, and I said.
Right.
I just want this, when you said the buyer, he wants two bedrooms, two baths, where do I put that on my body? You know, I just, I cannot figure that out. I cannot picture that.
Right.
How do you... Now, I remember these simple things, but how do I remember my entire presentation, bling, 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 1, 2, 3, 4 steps without being confused?
Right. Is this a presentation that stays the same, or does it change with every house, for every property?
Well, of course, it depends on a person. It changes, but I do have my presentation book, and how do I remember this?
Okay. The first thing that I would do is you have to build files for yourself, and I don't mean to be redundant, but it's really the first step. And what you might want to do is pick pieces of furniture in your house and number 20 of them, or 10 at least, but 20 is really a good number. And then after you have your files, say them forwards and backwards and walk through your house a couple of times. Then after you've done that, take your presentation and take the keywords in your presentation and turn them into a picture. For example. I taught someone how to memorize a presentation recently, and the first part of the presentation was he wanted to introduce himself. "Hi, my name is Bob Smith." So he put a handshake. He visualized a handshake on his number one file because that's the introduction. Number two file is he wanted to ask them a question. He wanted to ask them a question about themselves. So he put a big question mark on his number two file. He mentally saw that. And number three, he wanted to quote a book. He wanted to quote a famous book to give some kind of credibility for his product. So he visualized that book on his next file. And then he wanted to talk about the value of getting referrals for his number four point. So he visualized referrals on his number four file. So I guess what I'm saying is this, is any presentation, write it out, you know, get the main bullet points, and then just take each one of those bullet points, turn them into a picture, and put them, mentally place them on your filing system. Now, it might change with every house you want to sell. You know, for a certain house, you might think, okay, I'm meeting this person in 10 minutes, and I want to be sure and tell them about the backyard or the square footage or the price of this house. Well, that's stuff that's going to change with everyone. So you would add that on to the end of your files. You know, make separate pictures for those so you don't forget that stuff. And so whenever you go to talk to the person, you're just kind of mentally walking through your house. And I know that might sound cumbersome. And you know what? Initially it is. Initially it's more work than just giving your presentation. But after you've done it a few times, it's no longer cumbersome. It flows real naturally, and you can memorize a lot more information than you ever thought possible. I don't know if I answered your question, but I hope I did.
Yeah, well, yes, and you brought something to my attention that, you know, that is the really most important thing for me is the four questions, why, when, how, what, and those are the ones that really, during the presentation, I ask. And how do you put a picture on the file? Why? How do you put that? You know.
In other words, you're going to ask them, why are you in the market for a house and that kind of stuff. Okay.
Why are you selling? What's the reason? What's the time frame? When do you plan leaving? How you're going to be financing this? How do you put the picture there?
That you can do this one of two ways. Number one, you might use eight files. You might use your first eight files in your house, and the first file is from you put a big letter Y, and that reminds you, so you know that, well, so why are you in the market for a house? You ask the question. They give you their answer. You take that answer, turn it into a picture, and put it on your number two file, the file immediately following the Y question. Then you put a clock maybe on your number three file, so you ask the question, so when are you looking for this? When, you know, time, it might be a clock, whatever you come up with. Well, you have your next file empty, so whatever they give you, you take it and you put it there. Then, you know, when you get back to your office or whatever, you have all this information on your files, and you can write it down in your book. You know, the thing is this: you're just not, you don't have to write it down right there. If that makes sense, I mean,
yeah, it does.
You know, I'm not saying don't ever write anything down, but you use this filing system. You're no longer in a hurry to do it, so that'd be a great way to do it.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope to see you in Atlanta. Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Ron. Yes.
This is Sunny from Iowa.
Uh huh. How are you?
And I'm great, thank you. I'm also a realtor, and I might suggest to the lady that was just on the line that, or to anybody that's on the line, to get your memory in a month.
My CD
program,
album.
Yeah, that program is awesome. I started it, and then I did some traveling, and now I'm getting back into it, and because it is something you have to do daily.
Right.
And it was something I couldn't do while I was gone at the time. But it is truly amazing how you do this a little bit every day. And I'm telling you, people really should invest in that, especially, you know, in a business like real estate. Well, any part of life.
Right.
I really feel like it would benefit people.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
and if you liked the CD, I tell you something, the live training in Atlanta is going to be five times. Live is always better, so you're gonna even like that even more.
You bet. Oh, I can't wait. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Ron, it's Anne from Australia.
Yes, Anne.
Hello.
Yes, Hi. Anne. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. For those of us not able to get to Atlanta, do you currently have any DVDs on any of your seminars or DVDs that we could?
I think there's some CDs, yeah, and maybe Vic, you know, I don't know if he has any on his website or not, but yeah, there's CDs.
You can get some CDs at ronwhitetraining.com. Ron, you don't have DVDs yet, do you?
No, we don't have any DVDs. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ann.
Who else has a question?
This is Michelle from Indianapolis.
Hey, Michelle.
How are you?
Good, go ahead.
One's a curiosity question and one's then a question. I'm curious, Ron, who did you actually go to see that originally turned you on to this memory? What seminar, who actually taught that first one that got you down this path?
Well, they're no longer in business. It's a company that was based out of Portland, Connecticut, back in the early 90s, and it was called Memory Training Institute. The speaker was a guy named Blaine Athorn, and I think Blaine still does a little memory speaking, but his company is no longer around, so that's who it was.
Okay, and then my question is, how do you prevent yourself from trying to think ahead? So if I take the analogy of the handshake, meaning the introduction, and then the question mark as, you know, wanting to ask a question next, how do you keep yourself from not going from one vision to the next without actually concluding the first vision before you move on, just because you might be nervous or concerned that you're going to start missing sequences?
Right. You know, and I find, excuse me, that's a good question. You know, it's almost having this information on your files, having these pictures on your files. It's almost comparable to reading it on a sheet of paper. You're not going to be reading one sentence and then jumping down five sentences. It's just your mind, and I hate to say you're not going to jump ahead, but you really won't. I mean, if maybe you're talking and you're looking at the couch and you know the TV is next, you're not really staring at the couch while you're talking. It's just a kind of a brain trigger. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But I don't find it a problem at all that I'm jumping ahead or confusing anything. If anything, I find it, I'm more relaxed because I'm prepared. I'm not stressed out because I'm prepared. And I hope that answers your question. I don't know if it really does.
No, but it does give me a visual, just saying that I guess if you're comfortable enough with where you filed everything, you're not worried about what that next visual or that next file is. It's just kind of natural that you go there, and it's a sequence. So,
yeah, I mean, it is. It's very natural. It just flows. You're just walking around your house, and I don't find myself jumping ahead or doing any of that. I really don't. But it's an interesting question too. I haven't had that one yet, so it's a good one.
Okay, thank you very much,
Ron.
Yes,
this is Kelly. My question to you is, how would you teach young children how to memorize, say, the times tables and maybe addition, subtraction, multiplication, division? How would you teach them that?
Right. That is actually a popular question, and you really can't do that with you. Or I haven't thought of a way where you could do that with the file picture glue method just yet. What I do know is I've seen some memory flashcards out there. There's a guy out there, and he's got a flashcard. He's got it's 9 times 5 equals 45, and he's got Team 9. So it's this football team, and they all look like a number 9. And then they're battling this other football team, Team 5, and these teams are all shaped like number 5. And the line of scrimmage where the ball is on the 45-yard line. So you hold up that flashcard, and this little 8-year-old kid is seeing a team that's shaped like 9s and a team that's shaped like 5s, and the line of scrimmage on the football field is the 45-yard line. And what those flashcards do for these kids is they're pictures. Remember, our mind remembers what it sees. A child's not going to remember 9 times 5 equals 45 because it's so abstract and it means nothing to them. But when this little 8-year-old, 9-year-old kid can see Team 9 looks like 9s and Team 5, and they're on the 45-yard line, a 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old kid's going to remember that. So now, if you wanted to do all the way up to your 12 times tables, you'd have to have 144 pitchers, but that's a way you could do it. And as far as addition and subtraction, you know, I haven't found a way to apply it to that. But the key is pictures. Our mind thinks in pictures. And as soon as I come up with 144 pitchers for all the way up to 12 times 12, you'll be the first to know.
As far as these memory flashcards, where would those be located or available?
You know, I don't know. I've seen them around. If you sent me an email to ron@ronwhitetraining.com, I'll find them for you.
Thank you very much.
But right now, I don't know.
Your help.
Okay.
Time for one more question. Who's got one before we go?
Hey, Ron, it's Doug.
Yes, Doug.
Yes, I've seen a few of these before, and I've never really gotten into them very well, because one of the things that I've it's like the old thing you used to see where people would walk around with a string around their finger, and they'd say, "Oh, I'm supposed to remember something." And then they say, "Well, what, you know, I know I've got the string on it, but what was it supposed to remind me of?" How do you? I see the association you had with the words as far as the presidents with the different pictures, but then how do you spur your mind to remember the picture to remind you of the word or the name?
How do you how do you know that you see a van burning and it reminds you of Van Buren? I guess.
How do you remember that to remember that name? You see a van burning.
Right. Here's the way I would answer that question. You know, people always tell me, Ron, if you put your things to do list on your body, you know, how are you going to remember that you put your things to do list on your body? How are you going to remember that? And my response to that is if you have a sheet of paper and you write your things to do list down on a sheet of paper, the next day you may not remember your things to do list, but you still know you wrote it down on a sheet of paper. So you're still going to know you used your files. You will. Now, your question wasn't specifically that, but your question was, is how are you going to know that these pictures remind you of something else? And here's my answer to that. Let's say you have 20, 30, 40, 50 files. I have 300 files. When I see y'all in Atlanta, I'll teach y'all how to build 300 or 400 or 500 files, which is, I have 300. But if you did all your pieces in your furniture in your house and you did your body, that's going to be about 30 files. After you have these 30 files built, let's say you want to memorize the presidents of the United States. You get the list of the first 30 presidents of the United States, and then you guys are going to be the one turning them into a picture. You will turn them into a picture, and then you will put them on your files. Here's my point. If you're the one creating the pictures, if you're the one creating the file, the picture, and the glue, when you go back through your files, you're going to know what they represent. Right now, if you're going through your body files and you're thinking, damn, what did that represent? It's because it was my picture. If you create the pictures and you create the glue, your mind will remember what it represents. If it doesn't remember what it represents right now, it's because my mind created it. When your mind does this, your mind will remember it. It will. And I hope does that answer your question?
You can't hear him. I put him on group mute again, Ron.
Oh, well, good. Then I tell you what, that answered his question.
Because of the noise we were getting. Ron, thanks for joining us, and if anybody wants to drop Ron an email of gratitude, where was that, Ron? Ron@ronwhitetraining.com?
There you go.
Thanks for joining us, Ron. Thank you, guys, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.